We're in a series on boundaries here at our church, and we've spent the last several weeks talking about faith-based principles of boundaries. How we as people of faith are called to be responsible for ourselves and to others. We've learned about how some of us are more likely to say yes too much and some of us say no too much and what we can do to start balancing that out and making our yeses and our nos more healthy and whole. We've discussed some of the ways we develop and communicate boundaries. We've talked laws and myths of boundaries. So this morning, we're going to continue our boundary series by talking about the boundaries that we have in our own behavior. What are the boundaries we should be placing on ourselves? How do we do that? And more importantly, why do we do that as Christians? So we've talked a lot about making boundaries in relationships with other people, like how we deal with people who are overly demanding or how we be sure that we aren't manipulating others. But now we're turning boundaries inward. And there's some positive and some negative to this. One of the positives is that this is all something that we can control. So remember, we've talked a lot about how you can't force boundaries on someone else and how we can only control our own behavior and attitudes and values and such. Well, everything we're going to talk about this morning will be in your own control to change. Now, of course, the negative of that is because that it's all within our own control, we're actually responsible to make it happen. We can't blame somebody else if these boundaries don't work out. They all fall back on us. So we've talked a lot about how we're responsible for ourselves and to others. And this morning, we're really going to be focusing on that being responsible for ourselves part. But there's some really good news at the end of this, because my goal this morning is this: to help us believe that having boundaries in our own behavior actually leads us to more abundant life in the here and now. That's the promise that's given to us in this scripture. In the last verse from the Gospel of John that we read this morning, Jesus says, "I come that they might have life and have it abundantly." Jesus came so that we might have abundant life. Jesus died and rose again so that we might have abundant life. So how do we get this abundant life in Christ? Well, that's where the rest of the scripture comes in. Here, Jesus is talking about us as sheep. So imagine a shepherd and a whole bunch of sheep, and during the day, the sheep graze in the field. But then at night, in order to protect the sheep, in Jesus' time, the sheep would enter into a pen that was made of rocks that surrounded it that had an opening. And so the sheep would enter through the opening, and then the shepherd would lay down in the opening and become the gate for the pen. They didn't have like swinging gates. It was the shepherd's actual body that served as the gate. And so when Jesus calls himself the gate, he's saying that not only is he the shepherd whose sheep follow him out into the open and know his voice, but he's also the shepherd that creates a protective boundary for his sheep. So let's look again at those last few verses. Jesus says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and have it abundantly." Abundant life in Christ is found when we enter into the boundary. Now, this is kind of weird, and this is why it's important. We might think that abundant life would be found in the wide open fields of freedom where we could graze wherever we wanted. But what Jesus is saying here is that we actually experience more abundant life when we're surrounded and protected and saved by Christ. We find abundant life when we listen to the voice of the shepherd and when we enter into the gates of salvation. So boundaries actually lead us to more abundant life. The thief, who has poor boundaries because we're told that he's out there not using the gate and just kind of jumping over the rocks, is only offering us death and destruction. And yet Jesus, who we're called to follow, who leads us in to boundary when we need it, is the one who's offering us abundant life. So what then does abundant life look like? What exactly is Jesus promising us? These are important questions because we need to be able to identify abundant life so that we can see if the boundaries we have in our life are actually leading us to abundant life. So abundant life is full and meaningful life in the here and now. Abundant life isn't something that we have to wait until heaven for. Abundant life isn't just surviving day to day. Abundant life is thriving in life. Abundant life isn't just existence, but joy. Abundant life is having a sense of purpose and passion. Abundant life is intimacy and love and community with God and with others. Now, abundant life doesn't mean everything's always going to go your own way and you're always going to be happy and everything will be great. Abundant life means that even when things don't go your way, you know and you trust that Christ is with you, that you're loved by Christ, and that you have a community that surrounds you to support you. The abundant life offered to us by Christ is actually more life than most of us can even imagine. And yet, abundant life, especially as described in this scripture, also calls us to obedience. There's a line in the prayer of confession that we say from our hymnals before communion that asks God to free us for joyful obedience. In many ways, that is abundant life. That we are free from all that holds us back, all our destructive patterns and behaviors and sins, all that causes life to be taken away from us, so that we might obediently follow Christ. The boundary book that many of you are reading in small groups actually captures this part really well. It's in the section about making technological boundaries with teenagers. So even if you're reading the book, you might have skipped this if you don't have teenagers, but there's a good nugget in it. The one author mentions that the rule that he has developed for his kids was that freedom equals responsibility equals love. That really is abundant life. When freedom and responsibility and love are balanced and equal in our lives. So if that's about abundant life, what is it that keeps us from abundant life in our lives? Well, things in our lives that cause us to turn towards destruction or hurt keep us from abundant life. Fear keeps us from abundant life. An inability to be open and vulnerable with others keeps us from abundant life. Acting out in hurtful and harmful ways, whether that be with substances or money or food or relationships, keeps us from abundant life. Being unable to identify our emotional and spiritual needs and then seeking them in places and relationships that aren't of God, that keeps us from abundant life. There are all sorts of ways in our lives that we keep ourselves from having abundant life in Christ. But instead of just thinking about that because you know what it is that keeps you from abundant life, I want us to spend the rest of our time together talking about how we move in to more abundant life. How do boundaries around our own behavior lead us to more abundant life? So if you walk away this morning with just one thing, make it this. When you're trying to make boundaries around your own actions and behaviors, ask yourself this question. Will this lead me to more abundant life? Is spending this money going to lead me to more abundant life? Are saying these words going to lead me to more abundant life? Is engaging in this relationship going to lead me to more abundant life? And then base your boundaries off of the answer to that question. Now, I know that's a lot easier said than done. So what I want to do is look at two examples of how this might work in different areas of our lives, and how we use our time, and then in how we use our technology. So time is one area of our lives that we have a considerable amount of control over, and yet for many of us, often seems to be out of control. We struggle to make good boundaries about how we're spending our time. And so we either end up overscheduled and always behind schedule and running frantically from place to place, or we end up misusing excess time that we have in our lives. One year, when I was in seminary, as my discipline for Lent, instead of giving something up, I kept a log of how I used my time for the 40 days of Lent. Let me tell you, if you ever want to realize how much time you spend doing things that don't lead you to abundant life, do that even just for a week, and then read it over, and you will be amazed at all the ways that you are spending your time. So what would it look like if we, when it came to time, we asked ourselves, will this lead me to more abundant life? Well, we would say no to more things that weren't giving us a full and meaningful life, things that were causing us to just survive. And we would say yes to more things that we're passionate about. We would balance the freedom of our time with responsibility for ourselves and love for others. So maybe for you, that looks like coming home from work a little earlier. Maybe it looks like spending less time watching Netflix. Maybe it looks like saying yes to something that you're passionate about. It all depends on how you answer the question, will this lead me to more abundant life? So second then, let's talk about how we use technology. There's actually a whole chapter in the Boundary book about this because it's a huge issue for all of us surrounding boundaries today. This isn't just, don't just think this is a young person problem. I yell at my parents about how they use their phones more than they have to yell at me. So this goes across generations. Because in the past, we had time and space as these natural boundaries that kind of protected us. There were just times when your work couldn't reach you. There were times when that nagging friend in your life just couldn't get a hold of you. There were times when you didn't have to worry that you were missing out by doing something else because you didn't know everything else that was happening in all your friends' lives at all the time. But now, we have smartphones and internet and social media, so not only do more people have access to us than ever before, but we have direct access to more people and information than ever before. And suddenly we have the whole bunch of boundaries about how we use technology we need to make, and none of us are actually sure how to do that. So how do we do that? Well, we ask the question, will using my phone right now, or checking Facebook right now, or Googling that right now, will that lead me to more abundant life? Because here's the thing. Sometimes the answer to that question is going to be yes. For many of you, the ability to FaceTime with your grandkids leads you to more abundant life, so you should keep doing that. Or getting on Facebook and seeing pictures of family and friends that live far away, that leads you to more abundant life. Or having the option to work remotely so that you can be home for dinner, that leads you to more abundant life. For me, the ability to get advice and encouragement from friends who live across the country in a quick text, that leads me to more abundant life. The boundary problems arise when your use of technology isn't doing that. When you're mindlessly scrolling through Facebook as an excuse from not living your own life. When you're constantly looking at your phone to see if somebody has texted you back. When you're looking at your work email during dinner with your family. When you aren't getting anything done at work because you're just reading articles on ESPN instead. That, like, people, even A15, we have a lot of problem with that, I think. When you're looking at Instagram and you start comparing your lives to the lives you see perfectly presented in those pictures. Those are the ways that technology becomes like the thief in the scripture, who takes away abundant life. So how do we know if our use of technology is actually going to lead us to more abundant life? Well, first, and these things, you could actually use them for any self-boundary you're working on in your life. So first, you could ask yourself, is this allowing me to focus on relationships? Relationships and community with others leads us to more abundant life. So if your phone is helping you engage with others, great. If it's drawing you away from other people, not so great. Use technology to help you grow deeper in relationships. Maybe that means using the calendar app on your phone to carve out time to be with others. Maybe it means putting your phone away when you're out on a date with your spouse. Maybe it means that you call your children more, or maybe it means you call your children less. Maybe it means not using your phone for certain times of the day, like in the morning or when your kids get home from school or before bed, to have time to talk to those around you. And then second, ask yourself, is this focusing on freedom? Remember, abundant life means that freedom and responsibility and love are equal. So try to be free from needing to be near your phone or to have people have access to you all the time. Be free from giving people an instant response. Be free from always having the notifications on your work email turned on all the time. Be free from immediately having to text somebody back. Boundaries lead to freedom, and freedom leads to abundant life. So when we consider boundaries on our own behaviors and actions, we should be drawn back to the promise of Jesus that we follow him and enter into salvation through him. And that's when we're given abundant life. Here and now, Jesus wants us to experience full and meaningful life where we can live out our passion and our purpose. And so as we make boundaries around our actions and behaviors, we ask ourselves, will this lead me to more abundant life? For as Jesus told us, I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of abundant life through Christ. Lord, help us to live into that abundant life now. Guide us to follow you obediently. Guide us into your protection and security and salvation. In Christ's name we pray.